Father, we thank you for every challenge to read your word, to understand it, to fathom it, and then to learn how to make decisions which are good and right. We pray that you will teach us wisdom to know how to be faithful and true to you and to your word. We pray for your blessings as we read Revelation 18 this morning. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, we had to go back to what's happening right now. We're looking at a situation where, obviously, there's a lot of compromise left, right, and center. So it's a political compromise, there's a government compromise, there's personal compromise, there's church compromise, and it's all over the place. It's the idea is, if you don't compromise, you can't survive. This becomes a very big problem, right? So we take a look at the things here, verses 1 to 3. Right? So here we go. In other words, if there is involvement in this Babylonian thing, what happens? What is the right decision to make? What is the right thing to do when you see a situation that is so toxic you cannot stay on? To stay on is to be involved in a thing here. This becomes a very major problem. So we ask ourselves, what do we do in a toxic state like this, right? And so here is the answer, 4 to 8. It's a very difficult decision, and it is a very delicate one, and you have to think through it very carefully. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Right? Now, this is a very difficult. Lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues. Now, this is a kind of situation that is difficult to understand. You have Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? So Lot was told, get out from there. And he doesn't want to go. If Lot doesn't go, what will happen? He will die together with them. So you have to get out. In other words, you really have no choice. This is a very difficult time to think about this very, very, very much. Right? So when you take a look at these things here, it is something that we have to consider. Cut out my people. First, we're talking about the Lord's people. Okay? The problem here is the share in the sins. The sins and the plagues will go together. Right? So you have a Sodom and Gomorrah situation. Do we stay in or stay out? Can we stay there? Can we stay in Sodom and Gomorrah? And the answer is no. You cannot be partakers of it, because when those twin cities are destroyed, whoever is there will be destroyed too. Doesn't matter who. Right? So there were children of Lot. Right? There were unmarried ones and married ones. Those stayed behind, even though they are related, will perish. So the word was, get out from there. There's something that needs to be done very, very carefully. We are looking at sinful situations. We are not looking at just simple alternatives. We are looking at sins. Right? If you don't like this person, you don't like that program, you don't like the activity, that's your choice. If you want to go, that's your problem. This is a matter of sin. When something becomes toxic, when something becomes really bad, then you have to ask yourself, what do we do next? And along the way, this has to be done again and again and again. You know, I mean, seriously, we are honest about the whole thing. When we started the work in India, it was the same thing. It was same toxic situation. Right? They start off as a church, and the church started by a church in Singapore. It was neglected. The people, the pastor there was not paid for 6 months. They had nothing going. They were not planning to visit. They had no plans for it. On paper, there is a church. In reality, it was dying. And so the question was, they asked, can you help us? I said, let's follow biblical principles. One, you tell them of our intention. Right? One, do you have plans to develop it? If you have plans, I'm not going to be there because I will not build upon another person's foundation. You can keep the church. Ministry ends before it begins. So give them 6 months to reply. 6 months went by, not a word was given. So nothing. So another 6 months went by. The poor pastor had been 1 year unable to survive because he's not that he's paid much, he's now not paid at all. This became a problem. So I said, well, tell them next. Since you have no plans, since you have nothing to do with it, I'll tell you what we do. Okay, one, this is going to be a fresh new work. But we are coming out of the system. We will take none of your people. We do not go into your church to draw out people because it's unethical. You don't do that. You don't go next door and say, come over to our church. We don't, we mustn't, we must never do anything like that because it's wrong. It is something that is not something we want to do, no matter what. So this was our principle. We start afresh, totally fresh. Right? So they watch and they see what happens. Well, 36 years have come and gone. We now have 5 churches. They all started in the same way. A handful of people growing, developing, until we nearly have 1,000 people now. This has been our principle of working. Come out from among them. Don't share in their sins. I've seen this repeated again and again and again, and I say this same thing with Myanmar. Right? Many people think that Myanmar ministry is just go there straightforward and develop the work. That's not true. Because when you build something, the people will steal the land from you if they can. And you know what? We cannot let them steal our land. We have to engage lawyers to defend the properties that we have owned. There's no other way. So it's like a battlefield. So we have seen this again, and people will come, and then for a while they pretend to be good, but they are not. They are trying to do things to hurt. And me, I am one who will battle you. I have never been afraid of battles, and it has been there. So we have suffered splits again and again because there are people who will come in and take people out. To me, if you can be taken out, you can go. But there are people who are loyal and who are faithful, and they will remain true no matter what. They will remain true and steadfast. And those who have, and this is what we've been seeing in Myanmar. So would you believe it? That we have suffered split again and again based upon this principle. Come out from them. There were all kinds of toxic beliefs and practices which we just cannot agree to. Absolutely wrong. We don't go into all kinds of things which are wrong. Out it goes. So the last few years of building is more rebuilding than anything else. And it has been a very challenging time of rebuilding and building again and again. But this time, every time we rebuild, we learn to look at people in a fresh new way. What are we looking for? We're not looking at numbers. We're not looking at people. We are looking at whether they are true, they are steadfast, they are faithful. Can they be tested as proven servants of God who are faithful and true? If they are not, we've lost nothing. And we've seen this again in Myanmar. We've seen this in India. We see this all over the place, even for Perth. We were pulling out the same thing here. When people were asked, I said, we'll start the same thing here. We will not take people from the other church. It will be a fresh new church. We will not ask people to leave. Never. This is not the way we do things. We do not dishonor the Lord in any doing anything like this. We can't. We won't. We've never done this. We just build afresh. If it is from the Lord, we will build and He will bless. And if He will not bless and the work ends, then we know this is not from the Lord's work. This is not from the Lord's hand. Nothing will come out of it. Right? But what we do must always be done with honor. We do it with faithfulness. We do it with all the strength that we can find from the Lord. Now, it is a very difficult decision. Same thing with even for Bethany. Why are we called Independent Presbyterian in the first place? See, right? We came from a situation when, we just couldn't be in the same heart and the mind on a lot of matters. What's the best thing to do? Do the right thing. Resign from the whole thing. Don't speak against other people. Just build afresh and call it. We don't want to say we are Bethany True Presbyterian, because then the rest are false. We cannot say that. Right? We cannot say we are Reformed and all the rest are still, we can't say it. So let's call it independent and start afresh. That is the best thing to do. But we will not go to other churches and draw people out. We will not go to other places and say, the system is bad, this person is bad. We will not badmouth people. We are not people who do things like that, because there is no honor in things like that. There is absolutely, it cannot be blessed by the Lord. This is a wrong way of doing it. But what was the Lord's way of this matter here? This is very important. So this comes from the Lord. First, it comes from heaven. Come out of her. It is God's way of telling her, this is bad. Right? Now, if you see things which are really, first and foremost, it must be sins. It's not opinions. Right? We are not going to say, this person is like that, this person is like that. We are not going to criticize people. We're going to say, the food is so bad. Then don't eat. Simple. Too salty. Then do your own stuff. Seriously, that is not reason to come out. What is the reason for coming out? One, sin. Two, plague from God. One. Now, if you know that there is this, Bethany has sinned so badly, the plagues are threatened. Yes, that's a time to, first, don't just pull out, tell me. Tell me to my face. Don't do this behind my back. That's important. And then you tell me what plagues. If you can assure that we are associated with the beasts of the sea and beasts of the land, and we are doing all kinds of things, then the word has been sounded and we must respond. But if it's a question of personal opinion of people here and there, it's a different story entirely. We have no basis for saying things like that. Right? If I don't like your haircut, what's your problem? I don't like the way you dress. I don't like the way you joke. I don't like the way you talk. I don't like the way you speak. I don't like the way... Hey, listen, those are a lot of personal likes and dislikes. All of us, a whole list of things that we like or don't like. That's not a problem. What is the problem when we say come out? These are sins. They are sins that have reached to heaven only on that basis. But you do not offer any other basis. Now, this is something that we need to look at, right? So here is the word, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons. If you can prove that Bethany has become a place for demons, a prison for every foul spirit, a cage for every unclean and hated bird, yes, then we have every reason. But if it is for personal reasons, for one way or the other, then you say, well, you know, first and foremost, Pastor Charlie is too old. Okay, that's your problem. It's your business. You can leave. That's not a problem, right? But when you look at these things here, but no plagues will come because the person is old. We are talking about sin and plague. That is what the Lord is warning about. It's not about likes or personal likes, dislikes. It's not your opinion. Now, it's either facts and you can prove, not allegation, not supposing, not surmising, not suspicion, not your consideration, facts. What are the sins? Now, what are the plagues that the Lord warned about? Now, that is the reason for it all. Now, we have to look at these things here, right? So we look at the sins. Her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Now, this is Sodom and Gomorrah kind of problem. That's what we are looking at, right? So this is something that we have to undertake, and unfortunately, the reality of it all is that the church has remained very, very silent. Some years ago, we came across an organization called Third Millennium, which we are presently supporting, interesting group of people. So Not so long ago, I had a lunch meeting with this man who actually runs the organization. And I asked him directly, why did you start Third Millennium? This organization attempts to provide theological training to countries all over the world that can never afford to send their students to a seminary, to have a seminary education. Right, two of our young men went to do an MA program at Westminster. It cost $100,000 for each one to do a 2-year program. Well, thank God it was all sponsored, and they were given 2 scholarships, and outstandingly they did their best. These are wonderful A students, so we are very happy that they did justice to the scholarships given to them. If not, I would have a word with them. So I didn't have to worry about them, but it was. You see, but not everyone can afford those kind of money. So they decided we are going to do something to train people in Myanmar, in India, in Thailand, in China, and they would never have a chance to go to the U.S. to train for seminary work. Right? And they don't have the funds. Worse, they don't have the education to advance to the next level. Right? And so I asked him why. Now, he was actually a university professor. And so he came to the point when he was asked by his one of a very, very significant business person, went up to him and said to him, what do you want to do with your life? He says, you can continue to be a professor here if you wish, but is that what you want? I am giving you 24 hours to think through. You give me your answer tomorrow. Right? And so he went back. He was thinking, if I were to leave this seminary, teaching position, if I were to teach, leave behind a professorship, if I go into this whole new organization, what would I be looking at? What would I be looking for? So he told me very frankly, I looked at all the people who were there, all the other professors, all the other people who were there, and I look at their eyes, and my boss, the one who potential boss, said to me, look at them, one, do you want to be like them? And he looked at their eyes, he looked at them, and he looked tired, worn out, and he decided, no. I do not want to be among those things here. And this man said, good, then I will back you up. So he bankrolled this whole new organization. Reach out to people who really, really want to learn. Go out in faith. I will be there to support you. Don't worry, the Lord will raise supporters. You know, I was very, very moved and very touched by what he said and what he shared. Because there are not too many white Caucasian Americans who will come by and tell you things like that and humbly ask for support. It's really quite different. And I'm just very, very challenged by what he said and what he did. So he says, because of that, I have continued to do this work. And this is very, very real. Right? This is not an easy thing to do. Well, something that we want to think about. In fact, one of the people who have been here with us, worshipped with us, came up to me and he wrote to me recently, and also the two bands, because they were his students once upon a time, and shared with me, with us all, the good news that next year, he says, next year unanimously the board have asked him to consider becoming the president of Westminster Seminary. So he wrote, he says, I want to share with you this before it gets public news. I just want you to know. So I was very touched, because why would a person of that kind of stature come and bother to write to us to say that, you know, personally, I'm going to look at these things here and next year. So I wrote back to him and I said, congratulations, and I just want to suggest to him why he is going to be chosen to the next president. Because I told him, you have a heart. A lot of people only have the mind. Not very many people have mind and heart. He has been the theological seminary professor, chief academician, whatever it is that they have there for all these years. But this is not what stands out. What stands out is that he will come all over the world, the other side of the world, to humbly talk to people and teach the Lord's word. This calls for heart. And it is when we look at his word here, come out from among the people. It's a small seminary in more ways than one, because they have had to learn how to stand firm in the Presbyterian Church in the U.S. It has been divided again and again. It has been divided. There are people who are pro-gay work. And they want to insist that they must also be like the rest of the world. We must accept them as pastors too. And this group said, no, come out from among them. So it split. It is sad to see this and to say this, that the church has suffered split after split until it cannot recognize itself. No physician is skilled enough to sew up all the parts. Now, where is the leg? Where is the hand? Where are the fingers? They're all splintered to a very, very great degree. Only God can bring them back together again. Right? But this is not splintering. This is God saying, come out. Why? Because of sins. Why? Because of plagues threatened. If God's people will really hear and understand this message, don't just simply say, come out. It must be within its own context. It is because of a severely compromised situation. And that becomes a very difficult thing for the church to exist. And that's what it is. And when the church compromises here and there, it becomes a very big problem. King Charles is the head of, it's called Anglican Church Head, right? He's Anglican. And recently, in one of those special, everybody joined together kind of worship, he was there and they were citing shamans. They were citing people who were practicing all kinds of Red Indian tribal kind of a thing here, you know. And there he was raising his arms, calling upon whatever it is in the name of Mother Nature. It is a very difficult time. And this has been going on, right? So the question is how to come out. Right? It's been a very difficult issue, Prince Andrew's situation, because of his involvement in the Epstein files and all that. So the biggest question is, what do we do with him? They've taken away his Royal Highness title, but they haven't taken away his Prince title. He's still Prince Andrew. Right? And so they are stuck there. If they take away everything, right? If the Duchess passed away at a funeral, what do you do? How do you place him? How do you sit him? It becomes a problem. Right? So lots of complications. So it's not a straightforward coming out. Let's just walk out. It's not. It's always, always complex because it goes into a lot of personal details. But here it is something that comes from the Lord himself. Let's move on, read on further. Okay, so this is important. Why? Because her sins have reached to heaven. In other words, we're not talking about one sin, two sins. We are looking at so many sins. Those sins are obnoxious and they have reached all the way to heaven. And God has remembered her iniquities. Right? God has not forgiven. In fact, he has remembered. And so this is a judgment. Render to her just as she has rendered to you. Repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, this is very important, mix double for her. Right? So what does it mean? For all the evil that has been done by her, she will now find evil. Whatever it is, it will be double according to her works. And you say, well, isn't it terrible? Double. Actually, double is merciful, you know. Because according to the numbers, God's right is to visit sevenfold. So double is actually very low punishment. That is the reason why we want to take a look. So be careful of sins, because sins will become so obnoxious, they will reach up to heaven. God then renders judgment. And when that happens, it can be very, very serious. And the Lord says, double for her. In other words, we're going to see double difficulties for her in the ways. Well, we read on further. In a measure, she glorified herself and lived luxuriously. In the same measure, give her torment and sorrow. Wow. This becomes a really big problem. What does that mean? Right? Now, the danger is to glorify yourself. Whenever you put down somebody, that's another way of raising yourself up. Why do we need to put down anybody? Because when we put down somebody, you feel lifted up. That's cheap. That's cheap stuff. Why do we need to do that? Right? In this case here, she has glorified herself. She sees herself as better than. She sees herself as greater than. She sees all the time glorifying self. What's the state of her life? Luxury. Live luxuriously. What's the punishment for that? Torment and sorrow. Right? Think about these things here. And when people have lived so much in luxury, anything that is less than luxurious, even an ordinary shirt, is very uncomfortable because you're so used to fine silk that anything that is there, you know, you look at silk, sometimes you really wonder how people can wear silk because you sort of slip down. It's so smooth. You say, wow, how does a cloth even stay on because it's so slippery? Right? So when we look at the clothes which we wear, we just wear. Kind of. So when I go to India, what kind of clothes? I wear Indian stuff. So they all can see, hey, it's bought from the shops there in India. And you know, nobody knows and nobody cares. Think about this. Right? So try to think about this idea of how dangerous it is to glorify self and to luxuriously, in the same manner, in the same measure, give torment. He says, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. You see, that's how we are. And then we don't, this is what we call pride, arrogance. You know, I'm somebody. You know, I'm a scholar. Or I'm this, I'm that. You know, I'm successful. Look what I can do. Look at me. Look at all my accolades. Look at all my titles. Really? Is that the arrogance of your heart? God will take you down. But any of all, what do you have? Torment, sorrow. Because you come toppling down. Can that happen? It happens so many times. We don't seem to learn from this. Right? Unfortunately, why do all these things matter so much? You know, I'm a queen. I'm not a widow. I will never know sorrow. I will always be living in luxury. That's where we go. Now the Lord warns. This reflects very much the heart and the mind and the spirit of Babylon. Right? So this is what we are looking at. Therefore, the plagues will come in one day. What will happen? Death will come. Mourning will come. Famine will come. And she will be utterly burned with fire. Why? Because your enemy has become God himself. Strong is the Lord God who judges her. The very thing that she thinks will not come, there will be the very thing that will take place. And this has been the case. So we take a look at, look at these things here. And so let's look at the book of Ezekiel. We have a tiny little city. Right? We know this as Phoenicia. We know this, but we see this in early days in Ezekiel 28, right? And this is a little city-state called Tyre. Tyre and Sidon, they always go together because they work very closely together. Not that they are next door to each other, there was quite some distance apart, but they always considered twins, but they were there together. Watch the description. Last week we read about Babylon. This week we read about Tyre, and very, very similar language. Whether it's Babylon, whether it's Tyre, Tyre is much smaller. But smaller doesn't mean less arrogant. Right? Smaller doesn't mean, look at it. Okay, so we read. The word of the Lord came to me. This is to Ezekiel saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, because your heart is lifted up. That's the first problem, pride, arrogance. And you say, I am a God. I sit in the seats of gods, in the midst of the seas. And the Lord says, yet you are a man and you are not a God. Though you set your heart as the heart of a God, and behold, yes, you are wiser than Daniel. No secret that can be hidden from you. Your wisdom, your understanding, you've gained riches for yourself. You've gathered gold, silver into your treasuries. Your great wisdom in trade, you've increased your riches. Your heart is lifted up because of your riches. This is Tyre. Tyre was one of the most successful trades, you know, they were literally masters of the sea. The Phoenicians are associated with them, right? So the greatest people who built significant fleets of sheep, Tyre people. The people who were the ones who supplied the merchants with all kinds of things here, this was the hub. And because of their trading, they were able to gain tremendous wealth. This is like King Croesus in the early days. And that where we are looking at this. And then so the heart is lifted up. And so the Lord said, because you have set your heart as the heart of a God, verse 6, I will bring strangers against you, the most terrible of the nations. They will draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They will throw you down into the pit. You shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas. Because they think, you know, we cannot be defeated. Our fleets are so strong. Our boats are so well made, unsinkable, indestructible. And yet, in a storm, a lot of them were lost just like that. That's how Tyre was broken. Will you still say before him who slays you, I am a God? Go and say, you know, you are being defeated, you are dying, and say, hey, I'm a God, I cannot die. Hey, you are defeated, you are at the mercy of the person, and you are there, I'm a God, I cannot die. Gone. What's wrong with you? Well, this is Tyre. Will you say before him, right? You shall be a man and not a God in the hand of him who slays you. You shall die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of aliens, for I have spoken, says the Lord. Right now, this is very important. So take up a lamentation against him. Right now, this is a description that tells us that behind this king of Tyre, behind this person, there's someone else. Watch. Okay? You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, emerald, gold. Workmanship of your timbrels and plimes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub, we say in English, who covers. I establish you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways and from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. This sure sounds more than just a Tyre king. This sounds very much like Satan. Right? Wonderful in one way. We always imagine Satan as, you know, with the tail all red and all carrying a pitchfork. This is not true. If you want to look at a person who is good, tall, handsome, that's Satan. You see, we keep on thinking he's an ugly goat. No. This is a beautiful, good-looking person. This person is smart. This person has got personality. This person has got charisma. This person has got everything else. But he has also got one problem. He has a lot of evil. You just don't know it. And that's how it is. Right? In this way, unfortunately, a lot of not very wise women are seduced along the way. See, you know, it goes the other way around. Women seduce men, men seduce women. It's the old story. Right? What's the best answer? Get out from them. Because otherwise you're going to fall into the trap. In the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sin. I will cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stone. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. This is the problem. When people are too smart for themselves, they think, you know, I'm successful, you know, I'm the last word, I'm this, and I'm that. You know, they tell you, you're not. That's what happens. And this is where we are going to take a look at these things here. You defile your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities. Right? I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you. I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the people were astonished. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. What happened to Tyre as a nation? It completely wiped out. If you let God become your enemy, you are gone. You are going to be wiped out. And that is a real big problem. Right? And something that's where the Lord warns about. Sidon was mentioned because he was a sidekick. Set your faith against Sidon and prophesy against her. And say, right, I will send pestilence upon you, blood in your streets, wounded shall be judged by the sword against her on every side. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, this is very important for us to understand, right? So everywhere we see this problem of pride and arrogance, and then you fall, how are you going to pick yourself up? Well, when God becomes the enemy, how are you going to pick yourself out? I think the best thing to do seriously is to listen to what the Lord said, and this is very important, right? So when I just don't want to be associated with that which is, the person become very, you know, I mean, seriously, do I feel at home among very rich people? No. You eat your food, eat very carefully. I've been to a home when he said, "Oh, have a seat." Hey, look at those seats. Oh, I dare not to sit down. I said, "No, it's okay. I'll stand." And then look around because I saw this one next to it. It's a Ming vase, price over $1 million. I'm very scared if I happen to touch it and it drops. And if it breaks, it damages. I cannot ever live with that. So, and I saw the chairs which I made. And this one, I saw a little thing that it says that this one was don't know how many hundreds years old. Do I want to sit there? No matter how light I am, I still don't want, just in case. And every part of the house was like that. It's like a museum, you know. And you look at it, how do you sit there? I mean, they themselves can sit. If they spoil, it's okay because it's their own stuff. But I'm not. I always feel very uncomfortable. Just come on over. We come and visit us. Only if I have to. I heard somebody was sick, and I came by. I know them as friends, But friends, as in friends from hello, how are you? You're gonna sit on your chair, tower friends, you know. There are lots of different types you're gonna differentiate. So, you know, so when you look at all this wealth and riches everywhere, ruby and turquoise and emerald, and you don't even know who. You cannot ask, is this real? How dare you? Even if it's false, you cannot ask, is it real? Because you don't want to say the wrong things, because I have never seen wealth like that displayed like that, and I look at every little thing. If you want to sit in my chair, if it breaks, it's your problem, you know. Kind of, it's nobody's gonna be worried about it, but this one cannot. But at the end of it all, seriously, at the end, what happens when we grow old? It was very sad to see them grow old. And then dementia starts. And they have no idea the worth of any of these things here. What's the use? What's the point of it all? So when we look at torments and sorrow and things like the Lord can inflict, remember, don't forget the danger of sins committed against the Lord. At the end of the day, iniquities, transgressions, sins are all against God Himself. And that's where the danger is, when they are committed against the Lord wantonly. And then at the end of it all, God has to judge. Then we are going to suffer torment, sorrow, death, mourning, famine, fire, judgment, all from the Lord. Now, this one, we're not looking at human being taking revenge. No, it's from the Lord Himself. Then we are looking at something quite different. Right? So something that we want to seriously to listen to very carefully. What's the best thing to do? One of the hardest things to do is to realize that the church actually be dying like that? I've seen this happen so many times, right? In our country, in other countries. And the only way is to get out. But it's not something, it's not a decision that you want to make. It's a decision that individual must make. It's something that the person must decide on. And you do not do anything against the existing church. You just walk out. And you walk out, very, very important, clean hands, clean mouth. You have not said anything against anybody. You don't speak against people. You just say, this is my understanding. I'm listening to the Lord. You know what? I'm coming out. That's it. That's something that's very difficult to do, but it is something that is needed to do. And it's very, very challenging to consider this. Or anything you want to raise up at all. If not, we will close in prayer shortly. But this is a very difficult text. If ever the church is in trouble today, it's now. The church is hopelessly compromised with politics. The church is hopelessly compromised with wealth. The church is hopelessly compromised with members who are not living close to the Lord at all, and they are involved in all kinds of things, all in the name of God. That's the time for us to say, stop, I've got to get out. That's something to think about. But it is a personal decision that we all must make and consider. But it's a very grave one. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you will give to us that wisdom to understand Revelation 18. How we see the church caught up with all kinds of problems and difficulties. We see Christians, we see believers caught up with all kinds of things too. Caught up with wealth, caught up with seeking fortunes, caught up with pride, caught up with arrogance and all manner of sins. We pray that you will give to us the grace and the wisdom to pull out of all of these things, lest we share in a judgment that will come. We pray that you will teach us how to walk aright with you, to walk close to you. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.